But now I don't see those cobbles and curbs. I don't hear the blues anymore.
Rough Trade is giving away a third of the first 3 months of the Rough Trade Club plus new music membership exclusively to 101 Part-Time Jobs listeners. Become a member of Rough Trade Club New Music and you'll receive the Rough Trade Album of the Month straight to your door every month on exclusive vinyl pressing with exclusive bonus material. Club members have received exclusive pressings of albums from Sufjan Stevens, Sprints, The Last Dinner Party, Julie Byrne and Over Mono, just to name a few, this past year alone. Sign up using the promo code CLUB101POD and you'll get the Rough Trade Album of the Month, English Teacher's excellent debut album, This Could Be Texas, on exclusive Galaxy Gold for a third of the usual price. Here's English Teacher on a recent episode of 101.
How many opportunities do you get to write a debut album and have all of this, you know, support behind us? I don't know, I really like the idea of holding the bar as being like classic songs.
You only get one shot at a debut.
Don't want the album of the month but still want all the benefits? Sign up to the standard tier using Club101Pod and you'll still get the first month free. You'll also get free shipping on all orders, 10% off the bar and on secondhand vinyl in-store, and exclusive access to sold-out Rough Trade events. So don't hang around. Go to roughtrade.com/club and sign up with the code CLUB101POD. That's CLUB101POD, and claim money off the album of the month, English Teacher's This Could Be Texas, today. This offer's available to UK residents only. Do you play in bands? I did for the longest time. And I wish that I knew that DistroKid was a thing. I don't even think it existed back then. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. 1 million+ artists rely on DistroKid to get their music on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all the major streaming services. When you get DistroKid, you can see a DistroKid bank and withdraw your earnings. You get notified when you've earned royalties and you can withdraw via the app. And you can even check your streaming stats on Spotify and Apple. Get 30% off your first year on DistroKid by going to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. 30% off for your first year. That's not bad. We know it's a tough world out there. Why don't you make it easier for yourself? And to get 30% off that free year as an artist, where you get 100% of your royalties and earnings, go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. All right, stay with me. I'll be right back after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Aren't you always so skint? Playing gigs for 50 quid. You don't need someone telling you what to do. You just want to keep up the va-va-voom. All right, you're listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs. It's the podcast where I speak to bands about how they've been able to prioritize what they do, how they've been able to work jobs that allow them to do it, and how they've made it work for them. On today's episode, Graham from Hi-Viz, whose excellent new album, Blending, is out now. Hi-Viz are playing a lot of shows at the moment, and they've got a UK tour next February, and you can buy tickets to that wherever you get tickets. Google, I suppose. This episode is supported by 2000 Trees Festival, who have just announced a heap of incredible bands for next year. Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes, who will be headlining on Saturday. 100 Reasons, who are back. And So I Watch You From Afar, Joyce Manor, Crows,
No Devotion, The Chisel, Chubby and the Gang, and so many brilliant bands. Tickets at the moment are the cheapest they'll be, and with the voucher code 101pod, you get a straight 20 quid off that ticket. All from 2000treesfestival.co.uk, where you can buy four-day tickets. Wednesday, the first night, will be in a forest with Bob Villain and Holding Absence. I've had some brilliant times at 2000 Trees, and I can't wait to go. 2000treesfestival.co.uk, 101 pod for 20 quid off. All right, here's Graham Pivis, 101 part-time job. Getting into hardcore at Liverpool, was there, like, were those bands touring? What was the vibe? Were people playing shows on the weekend and making it?
Yeah, Liverpool had such a sick scene when growing up. Like, I got into about 15. I used to basically hang around this little cafe in town and met all these kids who were like straight edge hardcore kids or whatever, and like the old school lot. And I just, you know, just really looked up to them and was like, this is sick. So this fella, Foxy, used to do gigs called Thrash Gigs, which was just like his little brand name, whatever. And he just put on these like mad mixed bills, and it was like, it was sick. So all touring bands had come through Liverpool at that time. A lot of bands popping up as well. I love just fucking, like, when a band was touring and being like, right, come on, and we're going to go to every show. And I was in school and stuff as well at the time. So I remember, like, you'd just get fucking coaches everywhere and that, because you had no money. You had nothing. Like, you were just, you know what I mean, jumping on a coach. And then I remember, like, going into school, and people were like, what fucking door? I was like, where were you last night? And I was like, oh, I was fucking in Leeds watching American Nightmare or whatever. And then you'd, like, not been to Kip, and you'd just, like, yeah.
Quality. What was that like, being part of that? Because I'm sure there are a lot of people your age doing a similar sort of thing, getting National Express and Megabuses around to go see bands a few hours away, and you start seeing the same people over and over. How do you think that changed, you know, your social life and how you saw yourself?
Yeah, it was fucking cool. I mean, it's like shaped totally who I am, you know what I mean? I wouldn't have moved to London if it weren't for that. You feel the vision so small, innit, when you're young. I didn't think I could do anything. I didn't, you know what I mean? I was like, well, I don't know, I might be a plasterer because my uncle's a plasterer and he seems to enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like, that was my sort of vision. And then I ended up doing art because I, like, you know what I mean?
What were people around you telling you? What were your family saying? And I guess you don't really talk to your friends that much about what your aspirations are going to be, do you?
Well, this is the thing. All my, like, actual friends weren't in my school. You know, I didn't have any, I didn't have many friends in school, really. Like, I was, you know, I wasn't, like, necessarily lonely or whatever, but I was, like, everyone I knew was older or from outside. So, and from, like, the subcultures that I was involved in. So, like, I used to ride BMX. I still do a bit. Like, you know, like, just other bits for music and stuff like that. So, everyone was from there. And, like, you know, everyone was just, like, proud to be from where they're from. And, like, they were, you know, quite happy in that. Yeah. And I loved it.
It's funny how it transcends age, doesn't it? Because it's like with skateboarding, you know, you can make friends with someone who's 10 years older than you, 10 years younger than you. You know, you've got that, you're at that level plane. You can talk about, you've got the same interests.
I had a lot of good role models in hardcore and punk. You know, I had a lot of bad ones as well. But a lot of the time, like, I was really lucky to have met these people and being like, fuck, this is sick. They're doing bands, they're doing this. Like, this is, you know, it obviously shaped me. And just, I came down to London because I met a girl who had put Justice on in her basement. She had like a house show. She was like a posh girl.
Like me.
it was a funny one. I ended up going out with her and just traveling down to London loads. And it was like, oh, fuck yeah. And then she went to Goldsmiths doing fine art. And I was starting an art foundation. I was like, right, I'm gonna move to London and go to Goldsmiths. And then I did.
And was Dirty Money going at that point?
No. Dirty Money started in first year in Goldsmiths.
Right. And so when you moved to Goldsmiths, was it, obviously, you know, you're a student and there's partying and there's socializing. And was there also an element of, yeah, I'm going to be an artist. Like, that's who I am. Did you identify that?
Going to Goldsmiths was like a mad thing to go there and then just realize that I'm not privately educated. I don't have a flat board for me. I don't all this shit. I was like, I'm grafting, like, I'm doing 11 hour shifts here, like doing silver service shit jobs. You know what I mean? Just to live and make it up. It wasn't like I got support and grants and all that from to go to uni. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, cool, you're at uni. It was like, well, now I had to graft a lot. Also, I just felt fucking thick. I just realized, like, on the art course, I was just like, I'm fucking thick here. Because I just didn't give a fuck in school. Do you know what I mean? Like, school was a thing you did. And then, you know, it wasn't like, so I kind of struggled with that. And then you, But you ended up, you meet your tribe or whatever there, and it was, and to be fair, a lot of like people's ideas of what Goldsmiths is or whatever, and the art course is just, it's fucking sick. It's hard work, and it's like, it's full of fucking weirdos. It's so diverse and
in a nice way.
Yeah, yeah, no, of course, yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. Like, yeah, I don't mean weirdos in a kind of like derogatory way. I mean, like, yeah. You know, from a lot of different backgrounds, and maybe it's just my own insecurity or whatever. You know, like,
well, you know what, that confidence is such a big part. You know, because that's your fuel in a lot of ways.
And that's what's taught. I think that confidence in your work and all that stuff, and it's quickly fucking beaten out of you when you go and you're just like, you think you're making like whatever art you're making or whatever. You go there and you have to present in front for fucking half an hour in front of everyone who's trying to outdo each other and like being fucking heartbreakingly like critical, you know? And you're just like, fuck, this is art. So... And then you end up learning how to talk, and then that's it. You end up learning to like back your corner, and you know.
Did you have that in you anyway, that you could back your corner and?
Did a fuck, like I felt like couldn't write essays or do any. You know what I mean? I was lucky because I ended up meeting people who just fucking helped me through it. Like my mate Hoagie, he fucking like without him, pretty much writing my dissertation and everything. You know what I mean? And the other thing as well, when I was at Goldsmiths, like in the so obviously we started Dirty Money and stuff like that, and then. In my second year, my mate back home got killed, and it just like knocked me for six, really. So I ended up took a year out, and then went back up to my mum and dad had moved to North Wales by then, and I just went back up there for a little bit.
Did you move back because of what happened to your friend?
Yeah, well, it was just he got murdered, so it was like a bit of a brutal kind of thing. It just was like it was a mad time. It's hard to like think about now, really. I just remember like when it happens, he was riding home from work and he like three lads just chased him, smashed him over the head with a piece of wood to steal his bike. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
that's awful.
And he was, yeah, it was fucking horrible. But it was one of those things that like really, like it was just a big moment in everything, you know, obviously like, but, I just sort of lost track of shit and then was doing Dirty Money and I was already angry. Do you know what I mean? And then, got angrier. At least I had a place to put it. Do you know what I mean? Without hardcore, I would have been fucked, to be honest.
You can think about playing in a band all day long, right? You think about lyrics, you're thinking about tours, you're thinking about how you're going to get to that next place that you need to get to tomorrow. Are you the kind of person where you're always plotting, you're always scheming, thinking about what's next?
I'm not, like, I'm really not. I think I've never had expectations or plans for bands in it. I've never like what I don't. I had a meeting yesterday with a geezer, an American geezer, who was like, "Well, what do you want to do with this? What do you want to?" And I was like, "I don't know. Like, I just want to play shows and do it. Like, I'd be doing it to no one. Do you know what I mean? And I've always been that way. Do you know what I mean? But it's like, I'm never really trying to get anywhere necessarily. There's stuff you know I'd love to do. Like, I like playing to like. New people. I like playing. I like it when it's not doesn't feel so, you know, echo chamberish. Like hardcore and punk are the fucking best for you know giving you a purpose and finding a place to put how you're feeling or whatever. But it can become quite. Not to sound like I don't really treasure it, but you know what I mean. You just like you know we know everyone. There's nothing new necessarily. There's no new experience in that. And I think it's also like trying to hold on to this thing of being like. No, it's our thing. With Turnstile and stuff like that, seeing it now, I think it's fucking so cool. It's you know, amazing. Like they've still got that like hardcore energy and the same thing. And it's like, but they're also just like a really unifying band. And you see it for like young kids, you know what I mean? If you don't ever want to be the fucking old guy who's like, no, it was like better when we were doing it. Like it, you know what I mean?
You don't want everything to sound the same. And I think talking about all this stuff and, you know, it's dangerous because you don't want to define it too much. And I realize that, you know, the special thing about these stories and the sounds of these records and those gigs that happened that you've got, remember when that happened? Those are all things you didn't expect to happen. And you're like thankful that you're there. I wonder if sort of trying to define things is a bit of a dangerous game because you take you can take the magic out of it that way.
Yeah, I think being open to just doing new stuff is like kind of exciting for me. And that's what's exciting. Well, why I'm really enjoying doing this band now because it's like, just feel like I have people who are like essentially civilians, just talk, you know what I mean? Like talking to us in a way. And I'm like, fucking hell, how, like, first of all, how have you ever heard of our band? And second of all, that's sick that you, like, feel something or connect with it or whatever. I've been in my, like, punk echo chamber for a long time, you know? In the past, being, like, maybe just being scared of doing new stuff, you know? Like, I've been, oh, no, I wouldn't play that. I wouldn't want to play with them. But now I'm just like, fuck it, I'll do whatever, you know what I mean? As long as I can play with, like, or do stuff and, I don't know, feel proud of what I'm doing or whatever. Like, you don't want to be like, it's not for you. Do you know what I mean?
You must know a lot of people who've been doing music for a long time and they've been able to keep on just doing music. You know, obviously work on the side and doing everything you need to, but still prioritize playing music. Have those people had an effect on you, do you reckon?
Definitely, man. I feel like it is super inspirational, isn't it, to see it. Especially the graft that people put in. Like, all the guys in Terror and stuff like that have been doing that for so long, like, and they do it with the same intensity every night. It's fucking amazing. Like, that's so cool to see. And also, that this is the thing I was saying to you earlier a minute about prioritizing music over work. Like, I've never been in a position to have to, do you know what I mean? Like, I work in a school now, and I work in a school because it works for me in the sense of, like, I teach design. So I'm a technician and I teach design. And also, I get, like, out of that, I get a workshop, which I don't pay any rent for. Which to have in London's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's ideal. That's basically unheard of.
Yeah, yeah. So I do that, and then I get a lot, because it's a private school. Like, A, the kids aren't a fucking nightmare. I also get quite a lot of time off, so I can. I mean, now we're trying to juggle doing living, because living in London's, you know, a fucking nightmare. I've always grafted in it. I've always worked. I've always, like, had that there, and then we try to juggle it around. You know, yeah. School holidays or whatever. So I've worked in a school now for fucking 11 years.
How did you get into that? Was that by accident? Was it intentional?
Oh, totally by accident. I don't have a teaching qualification. I've got nothing. But I was working at Goldsmiths after I finished, kind of helping students with disabilities make work. So I was like a fabricator for them. And then I met this woman who was a teacher at the school and helped install a show for her for some like PGCE thing. And then she was like, oh, you could work at our school. And I was like, is it? Okay, whatever. And I was on some 0 hours contract thing. So I had to just like clock my hours in all the time. So you never really knew how much money you were going to make every month.
Did you enjoy that work? Did you get something back from working with students with disabilities?
Yeah, it's a thing that I've always like, I think in the future I'd like to do so. Because my brother's got autism and cerebral palsy. So like, it's always been like a thing quite close to my heart. I used to volunteer as well at school when I was younger. Just doing some stuff, like just helping out. And I'd like to in the future, sort of thing.
With your brother having cerebral palsy and autism, you know about it, you know, you understand, you know, and I think that's sort of one of the best things we've got is our experiences in life. Use that for
that's
good.
So true, isn't it?
And you make some amazing benches. Are there benches or tables?
Like, yeah, it's just like, yeah, concrete tables, benches, like side tables and stuff.
How did you get into that? Like, was that after, you know, during when you were working at the school already?
Yeah. So I was making, I've always liked concrete as a material for whatever reason. And I started making bits of furniture. I made stuff for my own house. And then people were just like, that's good that you should try and sell that. And I was just like, you know, who the fuck's going to want to buy that? And then I started just putting stuff on Instagram. And then it just slowly, like, grew, I think, really. And then people would say, you know, I like this thing you made. Can you make us one? Great. And that's exactly how I work now. So I never take any money off anyone. I'm like, if you want something, I'll make you something. If you like it, you can buy it. And the thing is, without that, I wouldn't be able to live in London if I wasn't doing that on the side. You know, my salary doesn't pay, you know, like taught numbers. I take home 1,800 quid a month. And my rent is 1,150, 200 quid lecky a month. Council tax, water, car insurance. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's not enough to live. So I make furniture on the side basically, and just right. Do that. And it kind of works. It keeps me busy. I like making it. Do you know what I mean? There's times when it gets a bit on top, and then it goes a bit west. But no, I'm kind of like it's just working at the moment. So I've got a waiting list, so it's like
great.
I mean, it's got to a point now where you know it feels all right. You know, my plan in the future. If you know, like I say, I don't really often have a plan for stuff, but I would love to just be able to make furniture and, you know, fucking do a band.
Living Ending's got great reviews. You're getting great features, you know, written about you. You're also able to talk about some personal things and get deep and lift the lid on, you know, naturally your own emotions, where you're going to feel good about that. That must be some kind of like meditation. Having all that go alongside regular life, how are you balancing that? How are you finding it?
I think taking Ritalin helps. And
how long have you been taking Ritalin?
I got diagnosed with ADHD about a couple of years ago. Like, it was one of the things I've always kind of known. And then I was like, oh, do you know what? Maybe if I medicate myself for this.
How did you take that? What was it like when they told you?
I think it opened up a lot of conversations with my parents and stuff like that. And one of them ones where, you know, I think my mum didn't want me to be, she's already got a disabled son, essentially, and didn't want me to be held back in life and stuff. But obviously, like, I've always had these tendencies. My dad just was like, you've got, what did he say? I was like, well, did you ever think I had ADHD? And he was like, Graham, you've got more get up and go than most people and a volatile nature. And I was like, all right, fair enough. But yeah, no, I think, like, I mean, yeah, I'm joking about that, but like, I've got a lot of energy in it. Like, and I've always just, yeah, bounced between things. So I just try, it's a lot of juggling, really, but it is sick. And I'm like, I'm so excited. I'm so thankful for fucking everyone who, like, you know, given us the chance to do it and listening and caring and whatever. Sick.
So it kind of suits your personality to do lots of things, be around lots of people.
Yeah, I can't do just what, like, you know what I mean? Like, my attention span's so shit. I'm like, I can do something a bit and then go fuck off and do something else. So I just kind of just go around and then do everything to a bit, you know, hopefully get better each time.
What are you looking forward to most that you've got planned?
We're going over to Belgium, which is the first time I've been over to Belgium to play a show since Dirty Money. Because I've still got loads of friends over there as well. You know, like, you make a lot of connections when you're in bands, innit? With people, and then you might not see them for 10 years. And when you do, you're like, fucking hell, nothing's changed, has it? So I'm excited about all of it. And we've got a little tour in February next year, which cool. Is going to be the whole of us as well doing it. Because little Rob couldn't come on the last tour. So I'm excited.
One hand, one part-time jobs, 101 part-time jobs, 101 part-time jobs, 101 part-time jobs.
I've only ever been sacked from one job once, and that was it was my first year in Goldsmiths, and I was working this silver service thing, just like events, you know, just handing out plates to people. I ended up, you go past, and it was like some awful sniffed up fucking prick of a chef was like just proper shouting at me, and every time I was just looking at him, and I just remember walking through, and I was like, lads, if you talk to me again like that, I'm gonna knock you out here. And then he shut the fuck up, and then I got dragged aside, and he was like, yeah, you've got to leave now.
That's great. That's a good one. Hey, you got to stand up for yourself.
He was fucking awful. The whole thing was awful.
Mate, thank you so much.
All right, mate. Nice one.
All right. So there was Graham from High Viz. Their album Blending is out now. It's brilliant. Go see him live. See you next week for another episode of 101 Part-Time Jobs. Go well. Cheers. I've been working all day for me, mate, on the side. Running around like a blue-ass fly. I've been working. Yeah, I've been working all day for me, mate. Every bleeding minute I've been on the go. Up and down the ladder like a fiddler's elbow. I've been working. Yeah, I've been working all day for me, mate. This is a Mighty Moon Media podcast.